use that stool for myself while we were prepared. This is the Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, this is coming at the end of a number of Jesus' teachings and healings, and this is a new start for Luke and this story that he is telling. So it says, now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Beloved family of God, grace and peace to you from God, our Creator, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I have a confession to share with you all this morning. I don't know that I've shared this in a sermon before, or really with many of you in my couple of years here, but when you hear it, many of you will think, yeah, that makes sense. And my confession is this, it's that I, Eric Clapp, I'm a super fan of the music group, the Dave Matthews Band. Like, yep, that tracks. That makes sense. There was a concert they did about 10 years ago at Alpine Valley Amphitheater. It's this huge outdoor venue in southeastern Wisconsin. Capacity for this place is 70, 75,000 people. I mean, just an incredible place. It's on the lawn, on the side of a hill, looking down onto a stage. And something to know about me at this point is that I had just become a dad when I went to see this particular concert. My daughter Lily was born the previous year, was about to celebrate her first birthday. There came a point in the concert where Dave Matthews stood at the microphone holding his guitar. Everyone else on stage had gone to take a little breather. And all of a sudden, it started to mist a little bit. It wasn't forecasted to storm or anything, but just a little mist began to fall from the sky. You could barely call it rain. And as this gentle mist was falling, Dave started to sing his song called Gravedigger. And the verses of this song tell a story similar to what it's like walking through a cemetery and looking at the different grave markers. It tells stories of people's lives. And then he breaks into the chorus. And the chorus goes, "Gravedigger, when you dig my grave, could you make it shallow so that I can feel the rain?" And the first time through the chorus, it's sung kind of quietly, almost as if to himself. And the second time through, the chorus is a little bit louder. Final chorus is at the top of his lungs. And if he's singing at the top of his lungs, you know who else is? The 75,000 people who are all gathered there as well, singing every word as loud as we could while this mist fell on our faces. Now, I still look back on that as one of the most profound spiritual experiences of my life, truthfully. It was such an incredible experience. of time and space, of singing music that I love from someone who I have listened to for thousands of hours, a song that I love about this life. Grave digger, when you dig my grave, could you make it shallow so that I can feel the rain as this mist falls on our heads? I felt connected to tens of thousands of people who I had never met. We came from all over the world, from all different backgrounds, all different experiences, and yet for those 3 or 4 minutes, we were singing every word in sync with each other. In the field of philosophy and anthropology, these kind of moments are called moments of resonance. Right? It's these times in our lives, these moments of connection where we feel like we are experiencing something deeper than just the everyday life. Right? We feel like we have this connection that's deeper than the everyday experiences. We feel connected to something bigger than ourselves. And it's these kind of moments that can resonate so deeply within our lives. Times that we look back on as moments that resonate throughout our lives. I wonder where you felt those resonant moments. Maybe it wasn't at a Dave Matthews Band concert, although I highly recommend it if you should ever be able to attend one. But I wonder where those resonant moments have been in your life. Those moments where you feel connected to something beyond yourself. Where you feel connected to something deeper that's happening in the world. Sometimes those moments happen in church. Right? Sometimes they happen when you're out on a hike or on a bike ride exploring God's creation. Sometimes they happen at big family gatherings. Have you ever had the experience at a big family gathering where you kind of take a moment to zoom back and it gives you a kind of perspective of the generations gathered together? It fills you with that kind of gratitude for that moment of being together in community, of laughing together. Oftentimes, these moments can help us feel less alone. They can fill us with a sense of gratitude that can carry us through times of sadness or distress. They can act as these kind of lighthouse moments in dark nights that can lead us safely to shore. I've been thinking about these moments of resonance a lot, reading the story of the Transfiguration. Jesus takes 3 of the 12, Peter, James, and John, up a mountain to pray. And while Jesus was praying, his face changed, we hear. I love the details of this story. His face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Moses and Elijah are there in glory, the weight of the history of God's people. Moses, symbolizing the law, Elijah, the prophets, the whole history of God's people, they're present on the mountain with Jesus. It's these moments that connect the disciples, that connect Peter, James, and John with all that has come before. And specifically, they witness Jesus speaking with them, this rabbi that they have been following now for some time, speaking with Moses and Elijah. And as Moses and Elijah start to leave, Peter starts to feel that moment of resonance slip. And he wants to hold on. But one thing about those moments of resonance is that they're resonant precisely because they're fleeting. If Peter was able to build houses for each of them to live and could visit them whenever he wanted, odds are at some point those visits would become less resonant, right? Just going up the mountain to visit Moses. Going over, oh, Elijah wants me to bring some soup over for him today. Right? If you were able to do it time and again, they would lose that power and meaning. What makes it such a powerful experience is that it reminds us that they are caught up in something so much deeper than just themselves. They're caught up in something so much bigger than just following Jesus. And as if the presence of Moses and Elijah weren't enough to communicate that to them, the voice of God begins to speak. Just as Moses and Elijah were leaving, a cloud overshadows them. It's similar language to what happens to Mary when the angel tells her she will become the mother of Jesus. There's an overshadowing. There's a sweeping up into something greater than themselves. And from the cloud comes a voice. This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. What a powerful moment for these disciples. This message that claims Jesus as God's own. This is my son, my chosen. The same voice that made a similar claim at Jesus' baptism continues to affirm who Jesus is with the added command for the disciples to listen. And then they come down the mountain. And Luke tells us that they didn't say anything to anyone about what they had seen. Now, that's a detail we often shake our heads at. How could you not tell people about this, right? But I wonder if they were just heeding God's call to listen. That they were so intent on listening to what Jesus was saying, so intent on listening and being aware for where God might be showing up. We often shake our heads at the disciples staying silent about this, but then I wonder how often we share those resonant moments in our life too. I think this is the cornerstone of the Transfiguration for us today. That it's so important for us as followers of Jesus to share those stories of resonance, to share those moments when we have felt the Spirit of God showing up in our lives. Our stories where we felt called to something greater than ourselves in encouraging and life-giving ways. Because we know that times of struggle come and go. Right? We know that these Lenten journeys of suffering can often be a lot longer than 40 days. And yet it's these stories of transformation, it's these stories of resonance that continue to hold us in hope as we walk through those valleys together. This is why the Sunday before each Lent, we hear the story of the Transfiguration. Lent begins this Wednesday, and I'm not sure about you, but this Lent is feeling an extra bit Lenty with the state of our world right now. It's a season that brings us face to face with our sin and a call to repent, a call to change and go in a different direction. Lent brings us face to face with a reminder that we are dust and to dust we will return. But the Transfiguration stands before as the lighthouse reminding us of who God is. It's a story of resonance. It's a story of the closeness of God that can encourage us as we walk through the valleys of the shadow of death in Lent. It can help us remember that we're not alone and that we're connected to something bigger than ourselves. You've had these moments of resonance in your life too, I would bet. Moments where you felt swept up into something bigger than yourself, or when you've been encouraged on in love to keep going another step. I'd encourage you to tell those stories, not to stay silent like the disciples. Share at coffee hour today if you're feeling extra bold. Because when we share those times and those places where the light of God has shone in our lives, it can help others find the light of God shining in their lives as well. Even if that light was shining brightest for you, singing along to Dave Matthews in the rain. Amen.